This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah wa alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillahi wa ba'd. I'll give you guys a few seconds to settle down, inshallah. If the brothers at the back, if the brothers can hear me at the back, and the ushers, if you can just, you know, make sure that the brothers come forward. Same thing with the sisters, there's space in the front. Please come forward, inshallah. Okay. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد كان في قصصهم عبرة لأولي الألباب ما كان حديثا يفترى ولكن تصديق الذي بين يديه وتفصيل كل شيء وهدى ورحمة لقوم يؤمنون بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا زدنا علما يا كريم جزاكم الله خير. For everybody that came today, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He purifies our intentions, and He makes this evening a source of blessing, felicity, barakah for every single one of us, that when we walk out satiated with some of the words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires and gives us tawfiq to share together, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Before I begin, this is the thing, you can raise your hands and you can just shout out the answer if you like. We're you know, that wireless mic was having a issue with an airplane again today. So we disconnected that, otherwise I would give the wireless mic out. So why are we here? From the brothers, and then somebody else can raise the hands from the sisters. From the, why are we here today? Yeah? It's a community event? Beautiful. We're here to learn together, learn about the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the kalam of Allah, and the stories, and we want to actually enjoy the company of one another in the community on a Friday night. Beautiful. From the sisters, why are we here? You can raise your hands and just tell the answer. Yeah. Okay, to learn more about the Quran and benefit from it. Excellent. From the brothers, why else are we here? Other than free food, mashallah. I was like, when is somebody truly going to be honest? Like, yaar, good food, free food. We're here for some free food that is not biryani. Okay? That is not biryani. So it's mandi, but yes, some people are here for free food, we'll accept you too. Inshallah, takbir. And mandi, show, yeah, this Saudi is like, takbir, mandi. Wallah, madri, wallah, gad halik wala. Well, okay, he's the true tester. So the only guy we have, Saudi, in the group, he has to go first. If he says mandi, then khalas, it's mandi. If he says biryani, we have a problem with the caterer. Okay? Excellent. Why else should we be here? From the sisters or the brothers, why should we be here? So raise your hands, because I don't know who spoke. Yeah, so it's a community, and to get closer to the deen. From the sisters, why should we be here? And the kids that are touching the partition, it will fall on you. Just laying. Why should we be here? So we can set the example and teach our kids that in these lands, as parents, we're going to take out our time from our busy schedules to set an example. I'll give you a beautiful example of what I witnessed yesterday. Yesterday, there was a family that landed their first day in America from Syria. They came from really difficult situations, but alhamdulillah, they made it here. So I ran into the father, the son. Are they here? The Syrian brother, are you here? No, they're not here. So the first thing that brother did, may Allah bless him, I said, where are you staying? He said, ما عندنا مكان. We don't have a place to stay. This is our first day. So I thought the best thing I can do is to teach my kids that this is the house of Allah. So we came to pray 2 rak'ahs nafil. So we start our lives in America with the masjid. This is something I witnessed yesterday. So we set an example so that for the rest of the two kids that were there, it's a statement that my dad doesn't even know where we're going to stay tonight at Asr Salah, but his concern is, can we go to the closest masjid so we can pray? And they had already prayed Zuhr Asr, and they were just, you know, they just came in to pray 2 rak'ah sunnah and they left. So that for me was very inspiring, that, you know, we need to set that role model as a community, as parents in these lands, that we are willing to take out time from our busy schedule so that they learn that they need to take out from their busy schedules when they get busy. And trust me, they will get a whole lot busier than you and I, because they have a network, they have friends, they went to school here. So their busy life is going to be like yours and I's when we were back home. It's going to be a lot more busier. Now, there are some preambles. Alhamdulillah, so far it's a beautiful gathering. May Allah bless everybody here. We prepared a lot more than we anticipated, but it's really good. But I do want to set some basic adab of a majlis, basic etiquettes. You see, without etiquettes, we don't have anything. For those of you that are attending the Quranic character series that we're doing, as well as the Shama'il, it's all about building khuluq, character. Because without khuluq, without the characteristics, without adab, we have nothing to stand on in these lands or in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have nothing. Imagine that woman that prayed and they read the Torah and did everything that you and I could imagine. But she tied a cat and deprived that cat of food until the cat died. And Prophet ﷺ said, that woman is in the lowest level of hellfire. So without khuluq and adab and character, we're nothing. So some basic, you can say rules of engagement, that would be a better thing. Number one, we have initiated a registration process for this. If you notice, we did not check you registering in. The purpose is, it's the first time we're doing it. It's okay. We all as a community need to learn to grow together. So we registered. Those of you that registered, alhamdulillah. If you didn't register, alhamdulillah. Okay? We anticipated that there will be people that will come that didn't register. We have no problem with that. But we have to start changing this behavior, because what happens is the brothers who are managing food, they're like, how many? Maybe 300, 400. No, last week we got 200. Oh my God, this week we had 400. How did these extra 200 come? Then you get the food for 400, then it goes down to 200. So instead of wasting food, you register, and it will be an honor system. We're going to see how this works for 4 weeks. It's honor system. Please register so that we can order exactly how much food we need, so that we're not wasting food. It is mas'uliya. It is something that Allah is going to ask the administration here. Allah is going to ask me and every single one of us if we become a source of wasting food. Okay? And if you're not coming, very simple, just message, right? Registration on that link, you can message that we're not, or you can cancel your registration. Inshallah, next week there'll be a different system where if you're not coming, you can just go in and cancel your registration. So it should be very easy for everyone. Number two, parents' responsibility and some basic adab. So, alhamdulillah, yes. Yeah, if anybody wants to come for the halaqah, they don't want to stay for food and they don't want to be part of mandi, then that's fine. If you know, like, again, we're not force feeding you here. It's like, no, brother, you can't leave the door, man. Like, we put the tables right at the entrance. You gotta eat before you leave. No, they can come for halaq. We will never deprive anybody from ilm. You can come for the halaq, and wallahi, look, the hadith of Prophet ﷺ is so profound in this, that the food for two is enough for four, and the food for four is enough for eight. So even if they show up, we'll share a box. Alhamdulillah, we're all brothers and sisters, inshallah. Brothers with brothers and sisters with sisters. I have to put those caveats. Parents' responsibility. So if you have, show of hands if you brought your children with you. Okay, how do you have a child? You're still 14, man. He's like, oh, I have, so your parents are probably with you. So keep your hands up if you brought your children with you. Keep your hands up. Don't shy. Keep your hands up if they are with you. So you brought them and they're still with you. Excellent. Good. This also entails the teenagers. So next week, the basketball court is not going to be working. It'll be locked up. And even the teenagers will have to be here for 40 minutes. This is a basic adab of the Majlis of the Quran. This is happening in the Majlis. They will be here for 40 minutes. After 40 minutes, they're more than welcome to go out and play, inshallah, on a new basketball net. For the ones who are interested in basketball, on a new basketball net, inshallah. Okay? Other part, if your child is crying during salah, basic adab, we all know this, but to reiterate, if they're crying, it is okay for the father or the mother to pick the child up. Your salah does not break. And if they cry excessively and you have to leave, if they're hurt or whatever, and you think that you need to pay attention, then do that. As for the sisters, those sisters, since this is not like a musalla, if the sisters are here and they're not praying, it's okay if you ask some of the other sisters to take care of your child or something. If he cries, can you, you know, just if you know that your child is sick or they're going to cry, preempt that. But to allow the child to cry, that is not from the sunnah. It is to make sure that you take care of that child. Okay. The next part is when we are doing this majlis, we're going to go over some basic adab of the majlis, and I think it should be very simple, straightforward for most of us, inshallah. Any questions? I think it should be simple, straightforward. Bismillah. Okay, bismillah. Some basic adab of the majlis. Number one is in the manner that we sit. So unless and until you are in need of a back support, all these young girls on the side, unless and until there's something happening to your back, the basic adab of a majlis of the Quran is that you sit facing the teacher attentively. That's number one. Number two is we must have humbleness and humility. I may say something that you may fundamentally disagree with me. Right? I'm not going to say something that's going to be out of Sharia, but you may disagree with me, and you're more than welcome to have that disagreement with me in a respectful manner outside of the class time. Right? So if you think there's a different opinion or you would like to express something, I'm more than happy. And there are brothers who will testify to that they had a difference of opinion, and I sat down with them for an hour, sometimes hour and a half, until we got to a conclusion that we learned to differ with respectfully. That is number two. Number three, this is to do with tashwish. So from the adab, there's a kitab called Al-Ta'lim Al-Muta'allim. In that book, he says it's almost a kabira, it's almost a major sin, not like a literal major sin in fiqh, but major sin of these gatherings, is that you're preoccupied with something else in the majlis of Quran other than Quran. Why? Because Prophet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says what about the Quran? Which ayah tells us to listen to the Quran? فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْسُتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ وَشْ تَتَّقُونَ وَتُرْحَمُونَ تَتَّقُونَ. So have تُرْحَمُونَ صح؟ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. That when Quran is being recited, أَنْسِتُوا لَهُ, like be attentive to أنصات, basically means that your ear, your mind, your eyes, your mouth, everything is paying attention to the Quran. And for the younger crowd that is here, my promise to you is the lecture is going to be no longer than 30, 35 minutes. So you can all listen to the lecture beautifully and then enjoy. So I know there's after a certain point, the kids will start fidgeting. They're like, khalas. So when that happens, we'll stop the halaqa, even if we have not crossed the point, because we also want to take into account all of them that are here, inshallah. Okay? The other part is basic adab to yawn, right? If you're feeling like yawning, mashallah, alhamdulillah. I was like, oh, this is getting tiring, right? To yawn, if you have to yawn, yawn it in a way that, you know, you're not disturbing other people. Not leaning on to the person that is right next to you. like half here. Remember, I was like, you know, slowly. And some subhanAllah, like, have you been to Masjid al-Nabawi when you're there? There are some brothers, they slowly. And like, yeah, you just, you know, put your head in my lap and mashallah, go for it, right? So keeping yourself upright, it's only for the matter of 30 minutes. And all of this because we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's barakah to descend on us. That's it. We don't have any other motive or mission here. So that Allah's barakah descends on us. Number two is our children see us as parents role modeling the adab of the Quran in a majalis together as families. Inshallah. You guys ready? Bismillah. All right. Bismillah. So today we begin with Qasas al-Quran, stories of the Quran. What percentage of the Quran do you think is stories? Yeah. 10%? Okay, we have a 10%. We have a 17? Huh? 87%, yes. 80? Okay, it's between 80 and 70. Between 70 and 80 is not 85. 75. 75% of the Quran is all stories. There's a professor from Professor Al-Amri in Egypt. He did this statistic. So he went through the Quran wherever there was a story, i.e. whether the story was in the Quran or the story was part of the ayah of why revelation was revealed. That story, 3/4 of the Quran consists of qisas, story. Now, how many stories are there in the Quran? By the way, so we are going to do a Kahoot next week. So these answers you must remember. So if you're not writing down, you'll lose out on some prizes next week, right? So we're going to do a Kahoot next week. We'll set up a Kahoot. So if you don't remember these, somebody's just taking out their notes and like, we have to have this ready, right? For the kids that are excited, you know, there is going to be a Kahoot on this. So if you get them right, then there's a prize for the family, inshallah. How many stories do you think there are from the brothers? You already gave an answer. Somebody else? Yeah? No stories? I mean, you can give a number. It's not a fiqh answer. 10? Okay. MashaAllah. 25? 125. Okay. We've got 125. Huh? 100. It's above that. It's above 125. 150? Okay, it's below 150. 142. We have, did somebody say 142? You said it? Okay, alhamdulillah. 142 qisas. Okay, how many categories of these stories are there? So 142 stories, if you were to divide them, I'll start off the category. First category is the stories of the prophets. Next category is the stories of, the story of who? The prophet, who? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the story of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like things that happened in his lifetime. Next category is the stories of what? Well, they're prophets, they're... But within those nations, individuals that did something. وَجَاءَ مِنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ From the downtown area, somebody came. رَجُلٌ يَسْعَى A man. رَجُلٌ مِنْ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ He is not a prophet. He's not Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time. But he is what? A person from the previous nations, and Allah has placed them in there. Then, who... Category-wise, if there's prophets and Rasulullah and then persons from the lives of the previous prophets, then the next should be? Sahabas. So you have incidents of Sahabas mentioned in it. Right? La tahzan, inna allaha ma'ana. What's the thing, Surah Ahzab about Zayd? Falamma qada Zaydun minha. Zayd, the story of Zayd radiallahu anhu. So those are the stories of the Sahabas that are mentioned. How many do we have now? Four categories. Fifth is categories of, not qisas, but it is scenes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about qiyamah, about qiyamah. The sixth one is amthal, parables. Parables are basically in Surah Kahf, right? That Allah had given that person to Jannatain, Sahibu Jannatain. So he is in none of these. And about the parables of the Quran, about the parables of the Quran, the amthal of Quran, there are two different opinions of the ulama. One is that these are just parables. I mean, these are just stories, mathalul hayat ad-dunya, the life of this, like, these are just parables and they haven't taken place. The other opinion is that they are actually actual incidences, and which is the majority of the opinion. But within the Sunni school, you have two opinions about that, okay? So, again, going back, two are related to Anbiya, Prophet ﷺ and rest of the Anbiya. Two are related to the companions of the previous Anbiya and Sahaba. And then one is related to what? Qiyamah. Stories of what's going to happen. This person is going to come. Or this person, you know, all the descriptions about incidents of individuals from Qiyamah. And then you have the category of Amthila. The rest of the Quran, 6,666 verses, out of them, 500 of those verses are related to ahkam. Do this, don't do this, do this, don't do this. That's what our sharia is built upon. Those are the verses you and I are not allowed to pick up and say, yeah, this is halal and this is haram. That's not your job, that's not my job. That's the job of the fuqaha. And the explanations of those verses have already been done. It's up to us to go and pick up the knowledge that the scholars have written. You have, for example, Tafsir Ayat al-Ahkam. You have books that have been written just focusing on those 500 verses. Okay? Jameel. So that's one introduction. Who is the narrator of these stories, the 142 stories? Allah. Which ayah? Surah Yusuf.
نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ.
Allah is the narrator of these stories. Subhanallah. Imagine how much veneration somebody has. You know when like a movie comes out, right? What does it say? Oh, Christopher Nolan just released Batman. Like something like that, right? Like, or what's the new movie that's coming out? These kids will know. Something that everyone's waiting for. The Avatar. He raised the hand. It's okay. You have a movie that's coming out? Tell me. Spider-Man? I don't even know the movie. Okay, so Spider-Man and something. What's the new Spider-Man movie? Oh, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Oh, mashallah. Okay. Jameel. Don't correct me. My tajweed is bad in that. It's okay. It's all right. So, but we get so excited about these stories. Sahih? Like, this person narrated. These stories, they are narrated by the creator of this universe. Every single story that has been ever narrated, every single thing you can imagine, the best story that has ever been told, can never match the descriptions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and when He tells a story. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ. And what makes a story the best story or the best narration? The ulama, they say, something that makes a story the best narration, twofold. Number one, it has the hero. Okay? The ulama didn't say the hero. I'm translating hero. Okay? So, ulama said hero. You have the hero and you get to know the events around that person. So you have the hero and you get to know the events around the hero. And sometimes you get to know, it's my son actually that's talking there. Hassan, come here. Come. Can we break that group? MashaAllah, they got bonded too much. Way too much bonding happening. Please bond after 11 minutes. After 11 minutes, you can bond all you want, inshallah. Okay? So, the other part is you get to know the story. And through the story, you get to know who the hero is. So through the process of the story, you get to know who the hero is. Okay? Any story that combines both, that story becomes Ahsan al-Qasas. That story becomes the best narration or the best story. Inshallah. Okay? Next question. And my iPad said, it doesn't recognize my face. Smile. Sure. Excellent. Next question. Why do we need so many stories? Why 3/4 of the Quran is stories? Yes. Beautiful. So we can learn lessons from them. Yes. So we can learn the lives of the prophets, mashallah. What else? We can relate things to ourselves, because every story that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned has a parallel to every single one of us in our lives. There is some dot somewhere, some place where we can draw and say, I am here in this story. This is me. Yes. You can know more about the prophets. Jameel. Okay. Now, the purpose of all of these stories, the ulama, they say, if we were to describe everything and summarize, it will come down to 2 points. This will be on the Kahoot. The purpose of why the stories are mentioned are boiled down on 2 main points. Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants a drastic change within the nation, تغيير الجزري بالقرآن. I.e. we need to change. If you want to change something, storytelling is the fastest way that you can inspire a group of people. So through stories, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to emphasize on things that are truly essential for you and for me as individuals in our lives. So I can pick up that Quran, and it is literally dhikra, it is literally a reminder for me when I pick up a story and I see this individual that is going, and Allah says in Surah Yasin, he came in the middle and he said, why are you not following the... So when that happens, you're like, man, subhanAllah, look at this person. And you can relate to that at your own individual level, from your school levels all the way to your workplaces. So first point is these stories, the ultimate purpose is they are there to inspire drastic change in our lives and the way we live. Number one. Which ayah does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention in the Quran about change? There's an ayah, a very famous ayah. Inshallah, good. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُوا مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah does not change the state of an individual and people until they decide to change that which is within themselves. How do we bring in that change from within ourselves? Every single one of us can pick up the Quran, every single one of us can take that and go through those stories and find inspiration there and start that change process. The second part of the Quran is كَيْفَ نَعِيشُ. These stories also tell us how do we live our lives in these lands, in any land, in any place in the world. These stories will tell you the challenges that other people have. Right? أَتَقْتُلُونَ رَجُلًا أَن يَقُولَ رَبِّيَ اللَّهِ. Are you killing a person? This, the only crime he has committed, and he says, my Rabb is Allah. When we see Islamophobia on the rise, we look at those verses and we're like, subhanAllah, it has happened. حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. When the Anbiya said, oh Allah, when is your help going to come? And those who were with the Anbiya, they said, مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. Oh Allah, like we're Anbiya, we're a Nabi, where's your help? So if the Anbiya were tested, then we are going to be tested. They teach us, كَيْفَ نَعِيشُ. How do we live in these lands? Okay? Now, every single story of the Quran has 3 characteristics, and I will end with that, inshallah. Every single story of the Quran has 3 primary characteristics. And they are what I recited in the verse in the beginning. Allah says, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرَةً. Indeed, in their stories, i.e. these 142 stories, عِبْرَةً. What's the word عِبْرَةً? What's the root word of عِبْرَةً? عَبَّرَ يُعَبِّرُ. From there comes عِبْرَ. عَبَّرَ means what? عَبَّرْتَ النَّهَرُ. What does that mean? I crossed over the river. Crossed over the river. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that in every story that you have, there are lessons, there are ibra, which means what? When you listen to the story, you're on this bank. But in order for you to benefit from that story, you must cross over to the bank of lessons. You must cross over on the other side of the river so you can pick up those lessons and the gems and all the pearls that are there so you can start adorning yourself with these stories. And that's an ibra, a lesson for us. Ah, I shouldn't do this. I should do this. I have never thought about this and all of this. So as we go through these stories, collectively, I'll share some lessons, but I don't have all the lessons because I don't have your life and your life and your life and your life and your life. I don't have that life. You have your own challenge. I have my own challenges. So my scope through which I would look at the Quran is going to be limited. But when we collectively sit, that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Why do they not ponder upon the Quran? Notice, yatadabbarun is plural. Allah wants us to collectively ponder upon the Quran as a community. Why don't you get together and think about the Quran? Do tadabbur. What does Allah intend? I mean, this is the ayah, but what does Allah mean? Ma wara' as-sutur. What is behind the line? What is that which is implied but not said? And that is called tadabbur. So the first part is every story has ibrah. Okay? I need to smile. Okay, it opened. Alhamdulillah. Next part. لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. These lessons are only for people who use their aql. Okay? And the word lub, albab, is the essence of your aql. لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Then Allah says, مَا كَانَ حَدِيثًا يُفْتَرَى. You're like, oh, this is just tales of the past. Allah is like, this is not fabricated stories. These are realities. These are actual realities of things that have happened in the past to people. They're actual realities. So you can put yourself on that shoe and say, if it happened to them, it can happen to us. If they got out of this, we can get out of this. كَمْ مِنْ فِئَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِئَةً كَثِيرًا. How many times did it happen that a small group of people, they conquered a massive group of people? Every change that takes place, it starts with a small group of people. A small set of believers. If they could change, we can change. So we don't look at the numbers of ours in America. We don't look at the negative tide of everything that is happening. We look at the positive. As long as we're with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah says in the after that ayah, كَمْ مِنْ فِيَةٍ قَلِيلَةٍ غَلَبَتْ فِيَةٍ كَثِيرَةٍ. What's after that? بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. We know that it's the idhn of Allah, it's the permission of Allah through which we'll be able to change. Okay? The next character, this is all related to ibrah. The next characteristic is that they are realities. They're not fable, they're not fake, they're real things. And number three, تَفْصِيلَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. And this thing has detailed about everything you need to know. Every aspect of your life that you are going through, if you spend some time and we use our intellect, inshallah, Allah will guide us and lead us to that path. تَفْصِيلَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Allah says everything has been described in it. Everything you need. Not in summarized version, tafsil, in detailed explanations for you, but it's for ulil albab. It's for the ones who use their intellect. Okay? And then Allah says, what's the summary of all of this? These stories also have some additional benefits. Hudan, it has guidance. The ulama, they say, al-qisas al-qur'ani yazra' al-aqa'id. All the stories of the Quran, they instill in our hearts aqeedah. Last night, I was I was on some app and I was able to ask a question to Sheikh Hamza Yusuf after I left for Isha. There was an app and he was answering questions. So I went on the stage, or like virtual stage, and I asked him a question. I said, why, that same question that I told you guys, that you know, we don't have any, like the first 13 years of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's life, we don't have many hadiths. If you were to count, they're probably going to be less than 100. We don't know what happened. So I asked Sheikh Hamza Yusuf that, you know, why? Like, because that was a monumental, like, they changed. That 13 years is what set everyone to success. The Ansar were built on the foundations of the Muhajireen. But why don't we know what Rasulullah taught? And then, you know, Sheikh Hamza Yusuf, he said something so powerful yesterday. He said, actually, Prophet ﷺ forbade, he forbade them. You cannot write hadith in the first 13 years. Why? Because this was the foundational stage of Quran. Without Quran, you can't build. So the entire mawa'id, all the reminders were nothing but the Quran Makki. Quran that was revealed in Mecca. As a matter of fact, Sheikh Hamza said that they actually, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had a collection of hadith. He burnt them. Because when Rasulullah said, don't write my words, he burnt that collection. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he forbade Abu Huraira to spread hadith. He said, we need Quran first. People need to be solid in their Quran, Makki Quran. We're not talking about the 500 verses of Ahkam. We're talking about the remaining 6,166 verses, three-fourths of the Quran, that is all stories. And most of these were revealed when? In Mecca. Most of these were revealed in Mecca. Inshallah. So with that, we set a stage for us, inshallah. There is one other introduction lecture next week, just so that when we start, we benefit the most from these stories. The format is going to be, just for the people, format is going to be very simple. We'll start Isha as Isha moves forward. The idea would be that by 9:30, 9:40 max, we'll end our Maghrib. So 9:30, we'll finish our lecture. 9:30, 9:45, you have half an hour to eat, inshallah, all of you, half an hour, sisters on this side, brothers on this side. And one other thing is that after Isha, inshallah, next week, well, brothers can go out if the sisters want the gym, the sisters can have the gym, and the brothers, if we can ask them to give them that space so that we can all hang outside, grab our food and hang outside. If we want to hang out, we can be in the basketball net. We have, mashallah, 13 acres of land. We can hang out wherever. We can leave this 600 to 700 square feet and, you know, give that to the sisters, inshallah, after Isha. And that's how the format is going to be. I really want to appreciate everybody. This, like, mashallah, amazing. There was a lot of, are the kids going to listen or not? Mashallah, all the kids that were here, be ready for your Kahoot next week. Right? And be ready to have your phones, dad's phone ready and answer the questions, inshallah. And hopefully, I just want to know if the brothers are ready for food. 2 more minutes? Okay. I can take some questions and then we'll do the dua, inshallah. Yeah, questions. Yes. Can I take the little one first? Yes. What's the question you want to do? Tell me a question. What are the 5 greatest prophets of the all time? You know the answer? Okay. So who are the 5 greatest prophets of all time? Okay. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You can't just say Muhammad like that. Muhammad sallallahu. Ibrahim sallallahu, Ibrahim alayhi salam. It's okay. Yes? Isa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam, one left. One person left. Nuh alayhi salam. What are these prophets called? They're called Ulul Azmi min ar-Rusul. These are the people that had the highest, these are the prophets who had the highest determination. And they were tested the most amongst all the prophets. Ulul Azmi min ar-Rusul, and we'll be going through them. There was a question that I came in SMS right now, which is, what prophet or which story are we going to begin with? We are going to begin with the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam purely because we are about to enter Hajj. So it is important for us that if we start the story of Ibrahim, then 3-4 sessions, we get the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam from the Quran. Then after Eid, we will begin the story of Adam alayhi salam, the beginning, and we go all the way down, inshallah. Okay? Any other questions from the sisters? Yes. Are we going to do Khidr? Yes, we will do Khidr alayhi salam story. Any others? Let me know, guys, when you're ready. I can do more questions if need be. There was somebody else. Mustafa bhai, you had a question? I already gave the answer, mashallah. I can read your heart. Huh? I'm going to follow from Adam alayhi salam all the way down. So first Anbiya, then other stories and stuff like that, inshallah. And if there's a relevant story that comes, then I'll take an interjection and we'll move to that. Anybody else from here? Yes. What's the difference between Nabi and Rasul, and how many Anbiya and Rasul are there? That's a good question. Yes. No, opposite. So a Rasul or a messenger is somebody that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends with a book. How many Rasul or messengers did we have? Five? No. No. Messengers, yes. 25? No, 25 or 26 mentioned in the Quran. 313 messengers. And how many total Anbiya? 1 lakh. Everybody knows this. 1,24,000. 124,000. Out of that, you remove 313 messengers. So messengers are given books. Anbiya come and take the books of the previous messengers and spread that same message. Okay? Okay, we'll just make a dua before we begin. Brothers, you ready at the back? Okay, I'll just do dua, closing dua, inshallah. اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها مولاها اللهم إنا نسألك التقى يا رب العالمين اللهم تقبل منا مجلسنا يا رب اللهم أنزل علينا السكينة يا رب اللهم أنزل علينا السكينة يا رب اللهم انشر علينا رحمتك وانشر علينا حكمتك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام وصل اللهم تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا بارك الله فيك إن شاء الله. Just one request, listen to the volunteers, they are there to support you. And if we can form two lines on the brother's side and the sister's side. Children under 14 are getting pizza. So if you are under 14, you can go for pizza. If you're above 14, you can steal your mom's food. Inshallah. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah.